हरि ओम सहना ववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तमाविर्विशावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 16. Continuing with 14. Actions which indicate the bhava, such as smiling, singing, or dancing, are called anubhavas. Sattvika bhavas disturb the heart and body. They are eight, being stunned, perspiration, hair standing on end, breaking of the voice, trembling, change of the complexion, tears, and fainting. They appear in five grades from weak to strong, giving successively more happiness. Dumayita, Jwalita, Deepta, Udipta, and Sudipta. They manifest as Snigna in the Nityasiddha and as Digda in persons with Rati. Right? Should have got all that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Huh? Yes. So, the anubhavas means that it's a condition of the mind. Then it has an effect on what you do. Right? So you could say as well, singing, dancing are also physical, but it's coming from the mind. While then, when the life air is disturbed within the body, then you get the sattvika bhavas. So one's coming from the mental condition, the other one's coming from how it creates the life air, because stunned, perspiration, hair standing on end, breaking the voice, trembling, change of complexion, tears, and fainting. It's not that they're doing an activity. Mm-hmm. It's just a physical reaction. Mm-hmm. Right? And both of these, then you'll see as they have these five levels. You'll come across this many, many times. These five. It's that time of year again. It's the first day. Oh, yeah, you got your fan. She has her fan. Well, the men have their fan, but, you know, then you have to plug it in.
You know,
that's
like,
it. Yeah.
You don't
need it. Hmm? No, transcendental. They're already moving the air enough so yes. That you're getting the benefit. Yeah, you just keep a little harder than everybody else gets the benefit. Yeah, yeah. See? With you and it bounces off, goes off the wall, comes back inside. Okay, so these five levels. Jumna means like it's, how you say, like smoking. Does that make sense? So on the modern kind of concept that if it's smoking, then, you know, it's considered good. But that's only the beginning state within the Vedic. Right? Then Jwalita means then the flame comes. Then Deepta means it becomes bright. Right? Then Udipta is more bright, and then Sudipta is the most bright. Brilliant. Like that. The Ujwala, you also called. Okay. They are called ruksha symptoms in persons who do not actually have bhava. Right, if they're not on it, but these symptoms may come up anyway, just by association, by being in contact with Krishna and the holy name and the, you know, doing service for the deity. But then they're called ruksha. Because ruksha, I think, means dry. Like that. I don't know if you have it, but the thing is that sometimes, I don't know now, because I think you just buy them. But it used to be you take the bread and then you put it and you go beyond toasting so it becomes really hard and crunchy. Mm-hmm. And then that was given to the babies. They would chew on that, you know, because they want to chew on something when the teeth are coming out. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Somebody placed that. She said they put it in the soup. Yeah, then, like, what do you call it? Croutons? Or
Crouton.
Okay, the guys that don't eat them, they're the cretins, right? Okay, yeah. Okay, cretin and crouton. Like that, yeah. So that ruksha is that's also they call them rusk, which is interesting. The dry bread is also named for it. So yeah, that's the point. It's dry. It's a symptom, but it's dry. It doesn't have the mellow that's there. So even there, just coming in contact and getting even some of these, it's considered such a nice thing. So if that, for one who's not on the platform of bhava, then for them to have those symptoms, and they consider them so great, you know, so then what's beyond? Like that, because if we're having this great, but we wouldn't say it's smoking, right? You know, and then that's just the beginning of the other, because it's like you know, the stories are about the guys that are smoking, right? So, no, it's just good.
The Chaitanya Charitamrita, we read about. That's in the Lord Chaitanya, where you experience all the different Satvika Bhavas, but we don't hear that his associates, there's no description of his associates getting those symptoms.
Because they generally avoid them.
Or is it because the emphasis is on Lord Chaitanya?
It's on Lord Chaitanya, but it's just when you're in the sadhaka rupa, you just avoid showing those.
But they are there.
It may be there, but there, that means I don't know where it'll come across. But it's also is that the whether they manifest or not, because here it's talking about the intensity of them. So in other words, these five levels are the intensity, right? So now how they'll control those? Then the example is given of a cotton wool in the breeze. Then you have a pebble in a puddle, and then you have a pond, and then you have the mountain in the ocean. So the mountain in the ocean, no matter how heavy is the waves in that, it doesn't move. Well, the pebble, then you see, you know, something. It's not so, but the cotton wool, just as soon as there's a little breeze, it flies off. Right? So generally you see the acharyas, they generally function on the mountain in the ocean.
And we are
Bhakti Mandri? We're, if we get anywhere, we're called Ruksha. Like that. It's very individual. Like that. So you see is that in the descriptions, only once could you see Rupa Goswami's symptoms of ecstasy. There's one story where it was seen. So that's generally the standard. That's why you don't see it in the associates.
In the example of Pundarik Vidyanidhi, he painted. So that was another example.
But how is that? See, the thing is this. There is the flavor of what's happening. So then you want to take that and move with that. Why would you use an opposite example to get in on the conversation? Does that make sense? Yeah, but the point is okay, give a second example, please. Right? That's the point. It's the only example you have. So, therefore, does an exception break the rule or establish the rule? Yes, so then why bring it up in that context? That would be a different discussion. You know, so in other words, in the context that we're in, then you try to see what's the flavor that's going on. So we're talking about the glories of Rupa Goswami and how the acharyas like that. But you see, is Pundarik Vidyanidhi, we count him as one of the acharyas. No, he's one of the Lord's personal associates. So when Prabhu is talking about the personal associates, he's meaning like, trying to convert into Gaur-lila. Srup Damodar Ramananda Rai. You won't see them doing that. You won't see any Rupa, the six Goswamis or anyone like that. charge. Now, personal associates, you might see things, far out things happening there, Sridhar, you know, Kolabesha, Sridhar, and others who are, they're not functioning in the capacity of acharyas, because they don't have to. They're just there in the pastimes. But others are there to establish for us how we as sadhakas practice. They're not, Pundarik Vidyanidhi is not setting an example of how a sadhaka behaves. So his question is related to us. It's about the sadhaka. Like that.
Maharaj, can we say that in that level of study, if we don't test, we can at least try to appreciate?
Yes, that's the whole point, is we appreciate.
And go in the flow.
Yes, we can appreciate, we see what's going on, that this analysis here, then we can understand the various aspects that are there.
Yes.
And so we appreciate just how great and how special and wonderful is the Lord's pastimes.
Without too much putting the mind, without the mind.
Yeah, it's not that we have to get into it, we, you know, get absorbed and all that. That's why in what do you call it, these New Age kind of like restaurant things, then there's some stairs that go upstairs, there's a loft area, that's where you go for that stuff. You know, get out your guitar, yeah. Like that, yes.
Marge, from the previous example, can we say is that the shallow emotion manifests faster than the deep emotion? Is that what was the example about?
It's a matter of the control of it. Is that somebody, there's a little bit of ecstasy, you see it. But someone like Rupa Goswami, even there's a whole ocean of it, you don't see it. That's why he's saying only once it was seen. And that was just for a moment. So that's the point. What we're talking about is that you have these, but you won't always see them, as Prabhu is pointing out, because of their control of them. It's not that Lalita and Vishaka aren't feeling these things. It's just that they're not manifesting them. Like that. You know, it's like you see, Rupa Goswami gives the example of Raktak, that he's performing service to Krishna. He's fanning with the fan, and he's in such ecstasy that his eyes, you know, start to tears in his eyes and his body, what was it, here's change, complete fainting, standing, stunned. Being stunned, so he can't fan. So he just immediately tries to, you know, what's the use of these ecstasies that get in the way of my service? So he just, you know, became sober so he could do his service. Because the feeling of doing the service is much greater than these physical ecstasies that come along with it. So as long as they enhance the service and all that, they're fine. But if they don't, then they don't manifest. So that's why many times you see in these stories, you don't see them manifest. And sometimes you do. It just depends on the situation. But especially when you see that they're out in the Samanda aspects of the Sankirtan mission, then you'll see it less. In the Abhideya aspects, and a little bit more in the Prayojana, then that's generally... So it's Lord Chaitanya's tasting it, the others are supporting. So it's all about Lord Chaitanya, but it still is just a matter of how much is there. So in Antialila, that's where you'll see things happening. Right? It'll all be explained in the Adialila, but in the pastimes there you won't even see. Does that make sense? So like, even if it does come up, Lord Chaitanya's like, what's this? You know, like he says, I started chanting and I started to, you know, all these ecstasies and all that. So he went to his spiritual master and he said, you know, what mantra you gave me is making me crazy. You know what I'm saying? So it's not about the tasting of that, it's about the position of that. Right? No, it's of course ecstasy and all that. But so then Lord Chaitanya then is dealing with this level. And so then the devotees are appreciating all that. And you see that he just gradually goes through from Nimai Pandit, then he, you know, turns into someone who's very much absorbed in rasa. That's why his students, because he was like the best, you know, in grammar and all that. And so then when, after he came back for Kanai Natshala, when he starts to, you know, describe things in a different way and all these things, the students are kind of like, you know, who is this guy? You know, they're expecting that nice, dry grammarian. Is that so then, you know, there was that pastime where the students then kind of rebelled against the teacher. I don't think it really worked out very good for anybody, but you know what I'm saying? Because they were used to the smarta kind of approach, and then now they had this rasa approach, and they didn't know what to do with it. So those who appreciate it, then they go along and you know, enter that ocean of nectar. And those who don't, then they'll, like what Chaitanya said, the prashandis, they just float on the top. You can imagine, if you have this ocean of rasa, and for everybody else, like Rupa and that, they're like sharks that are going deep into this ocean. But the prashandis, it's like the Dead Sea. They're floating on top, and they can't even get their head inside the water. You know what I'm saying? The other way, you know, regular, you're kind of up to here, but these guys are like floating up to here, you know. So.
Yeah.
Like garbage.
Yeah. Does that make sense? Or
yeah.
You didn't step over the line with the example? Or?
Yeah, it's a good example.
Good example, okay. Yeah.
That's used for my body. The Dead Sea is for my body.
Yes, that's it. That's it. If they appear in persons desiring liberation, they are called Sattvika Bhavas arising from Ratyabhas. If they appear in practitioners of karma or materialistic, they are caused by Sattvika Bhasha, generated by emotions. Sattva Bhasha. Right, so they're coming from the mode of goodness. So they're catching that aspect. The pure goodness is there. They're only catching the goodness part. And because of the goodness part, then you see these symptoms. Right? Like that. So that's the kind of stuff that those who have that materialistic inclination, they may be experiencing something, but it's not bhava. It's ratyabhas or sattvabhas. You know, it's the good qualities themselves are just reflecting that which is coming from the devotees. They appear in persons with hard hearts simply by practice. They are called nishattva, fakes and symptoms. The other ones, they're there, but the point is they're it's not the same. They have a different flavor because the depth of them is not the same. Externally, they may look the same. They appear in persons who hate the Lord. They are called pratipa symptoms. Like that. You know, it's just like, what do you call it? Kamsa might have hair standing on end or, you know, all these different things stunning in the body when he hears that, you know, when he sees Krishna, how you say, killing the demons, and, you know, like that. 15. So, that was about rasa. Okay, bhava matures, it becomes prema, then rasa, now vyavichari bhavas. Yes.
Maharaj, nowadays, because people hardly experience any emotions at all. So then some preachers, they recommend, then we start from, you know, experience basic human emotions. And
how do they, how are you going to do that? Like get a puppy?
You know, like
or?
We read the mundane poetry or some drama which we can relate to.
Yeah, but the point is that someone's heart is so dry, why would they relate to the... Who is able to relate to that?
We have some examples in Denmark that was just an Arkesas left. They presented this philosophy as very new philosophy and in 1.5 years...
Yeah, but they say it's new, but I grew up with that philosophy as a kid. It's new age. It goes back hundreds of years. It's always been there.
But in 1.5 years, all the men has some, Brahmacharya has some female term, but not even amongst the devotees. And
no, that's
they embrace this other, and it was just, you know, from some cartoon or something.
Yes. So, the point is that, yes, you can say, but then understand the position that it's in. You know what I'm saying? Even if you want to look at the positive side is, yeah, if there's some emotion there, then you can relate to the concept of emotion. That's fine. But then understand that we're dealing with a very unfortunate social environment. And then, at the same time, is we shouldn't project that the natural form of the Vedic is bad and wouldn't be used. Why not use that? You know, it's just like, okay, you're going to do these things, okay. But let's say you take something like, let's say we have a samskar. Okay, the child's samskar, let's say like first grains or something. Okay, you arrange a yajna, you have different things there, you cook some very nice things, you invite, you know, people that you're very comfortable with, everybody dresses up, you know, you spend the time, you talk. So why that couldn't be the use of it? Why we have to get a puppy? You know what I'm saying? Because we can say, oh, but they don't know how to, but then why not start? Because the point is you can have a puppy all day and it doesn't mean you can relate to humans. You know, those guys that live out in nature, off the grid, nothing, right? But they're anarchists, and then they try to completely destroy the modern civilization. But they won't bother the animals. So you can say they had those feelings there. So the point is why that the concept is there, that's good. That you're trying to get them to experience something, that's good. But why not use the Vedic system to do that? Because if the system's all about relationship and the taste in that relationship, why wouldn't that have the method? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, it's just like you want to ride a bicycle, you're having trouble riding a bicycle, so why don't we play ping pong? You know, okay, put training wheels on, do something, but the point is it's still a bicycle. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because the point is all these things are there. The difficulty is if we use these other systems, you read the poetry and all this, okay, let's say it does invoke emotion.
Yeah.
But then the problem is what are you going to do with that emotion? You read Romeo and Juliet and you get very much affected by that. So what's the next stage? Now you're going to turn all that. How? What's the system for turning that to Krishna? Or is it you're going to go out and try to find some kind of partner that you can express that, you know, how you say? You know, what is it? An android by any other name would still be android, you know.
Whereas that this example started, like you said, when it was first everybody embracing the lady consult who was external.
Yeah, but then is it about the person or it's about the, yeah, how you say, the cushioning effect between you and that other person?
But it ended.
Because
like
I guarantee you that lady's not asking men to hug men and women
no,
women.
No. But it ended up really crying because everything collapsed. Then it was really,
yes,
emotional.
Yes, 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 of course. Yes, of course. Of course. You understand is that you can cultivate those things, but how do you translate it? It's just like, let's say, you're sitting in Europe and you have 1 billion yen and there is absolutely no method to convert it into euros. What did you gain? You understand? So they have to see is that you want to develop emotion, but that's not the problem. It may be a difficulty because of the background, but why would we be born into a system like that, into a family or into a community where we don't experience these things? You know, it's not that, how you say, Yamaraj doesn't sit there and go eeny, meeny, miny, mo before he puts you into your next situation. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's exact. Means that's how you behave. So you're talking about someone who has no understanding of emotion. That goes back lifetimes. So therefore, since you have to cultivate it, why not cultivate it in connection with Krishna? You see, the Krishna book, it's all just wonderful pastimes of Krishna and the devotees and all that. So why not that? Because otherwise, then yeah, okay, so Reader's Digest. That's meant for just that generic kind of thing, but that won't be what they'll read. Or, okay, read Shakespeare. You know? But who understands what he even means? You know what I'm saying? So someone who works in those areas, they're going to suggest that. But it doesn't mean that it will have an effect on the other person. Because otherwise, that other person did go to school, and in school, at least through middle school, that's all they bombarded you with was that stuff. As soon as you could read, that's the first thing they bombard you with. Is all the, you know, the classics and the, all these novels and all that kind of stuff. You know, so, yes, it's there, okay, but who's going to convert it? So unless the person who's recommending it is going to, as it comes through, then show them how to convert that across to Krishna, then what will the endeavor have done for them? And if they feel, okay, but now he could feel he's a better person for it, it's like that, you know, then why join this society? You know, it better you join Amnesty International or something. Go out there and actually help some kids, you know, get them a mosquito net or something, you know. You do some at least some direct, real, you know, join this, what is it, it's a welfare group that you get trained, and they'll even languages and techniques, and then they send you to different places in the world. No? What are they called? Yeah, I don't remember. But then the problem is then if things don't come in that mundane form, you don't taste it. Because the point is, this Krishna book is what these guys are tasting. So that's why it says, if it's not there, why don't we taste? Because it's the inherent nature of the living entity to taste, the Satchitananda. So by purifying the heart, then the purified heart is able to taste. Right? So if they want to taste, then they should be being absorbed more in good association, like that, rather than hanging out with whoever it is who's going to. What are they recommending? You know, Huckleberry Finn, or you know, Mary Drew, or you know, what is it that they're? What is his name? Charlie's Angels. Ring Trilogy or something. You know, I mean, well, what is it that they're, you know, if that's old fashioned. You want to be up to date, then it's got to be Game of Thrones, right? You know, like that. And, you know, and that'll definitely develop some rasa, but what rasa? You know, so the point is the devotional process already has those opportunities. You just have to be aware of what's there. So someone has to train you in what to be aware of. Like you're serving prasad. Be aware of the person's plate. Like one of the simplest things about serving prasad is look, depending on what the system is, but the general principle, what's missing on the plate? If there's nothing in the glass, means you fill it up with drink. You know, if the chutney's gone, then, you know, if they have things that chutney goes in are still there, you need chutney. If chutney's there, but the things that go in the chutney aren't there, you put that. So it's a very simple thing. That means you have to be totally aware of that person's plate. So that's where relationships start. That's where rasa starts, is being aware of other people. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So if that's then a valuable thing. But you're doing it in connection with devotional service. So it's the Vaishnavas who are becoming aware, and the community, and like this. But otherwise, if you go out, then great, but not necessarily you'll be able to convert, like Prabhu was saying. That zone disappeared in 3 weeks. Literally. You know? The hardest core Samkirtan, you know, chew on wood, spit on the women, brahmacharis, and, you know, rah rah, and, you know, Samkirtan is it, and everybody else is a schnook. Like that. 3 weeks. It didn't exist, the zone. All that was left was Jagannath there in Berlin, 6 foot tall, because they thought if we install Jagannath, then everybody will stay. So that's the problem, is that it's about people and relationships. So they were engaged very seriously in the secondary aspects of devotional service and very committed. But unless you bring out that primary, it's about Krishna and pleasing Him and that relationship that Krishna has with the devotees, then one will not see what's beyond that. It doesn't matter, you know, what poetry you read. You know, and then it comes down, oh, we can read this poetry, not that poetry. But what happens if it doesn't work for you? You know, does that work? What kind of poetry? Does it have to be the couplets, or what about limericks? What is it? You know limericks?
No.
They have a certain pattern. There was a man from Gaborim. He had some pants and he wore them. He stooped when he laughed and felt quite a draft and knew just where he tore them. That's poetry. It's called a limerick.
Yeah.
You know, or haiku. I went, but then there was nothing. Yeah, and you say, well, you know, so what does this mean? You know, you experience, but why not within devotional service? Why not the kirtan? Why not, you know, Sir Prashad, do something for devotees? Be considerate of your family members. Make it not about yourself. Give in charity. Do service for free. You know? Do some extra service for Krishna on Janmashtami. You know what I'm saying? These are all things that will, one, you're dealing in relationships, and two, they're purifying. So then the impure heart, which is the cause of this, will then be adjusted. Does that make sense? So that the idea is there that you should expose yourself to something that's going to do, that's a very good point. But you have to know what will do it. Because otherwise, then what if they get a taste for that kind of poetry and can't read Bhagavatam? Now have we benefited them? Because you go down to, I don't know if it's still current, but before you always have, many times at the libraries, then they have a dramatic reading of somebody's book or that. They come there and read it, and people sit around and all that, and they get right into that. Or, you know, go and listen to, they go to a classical consort, you know, I say, what if you had, listen to Ode to Joy, you know, by Beethoven. Even the guy was deaf, so he couldn't hear it, but whatever. You know what I'm saying? So, but the point is, the modes of nature, it's not going to work for them. So there's a good chance that they'll be listening to some, you know, heavy metal stuff about how somebody's head's getting ripped off, and then they can feel some emotion. You know, so. So, the point is that we've gone through all this. We've been through the 8,400,000 species. Why go back? Why not move forward into human life? So human life gets emotions from human experience. If it's there, then understand, okay, we're in an animalistic kind of mentality. We can't relate. And if we need it to just maintain our sanity, then yes, okay. Then that's fine. But don't think it's a process. And don't say that this is, yeah, you know, this is what devotees should do, which much of the time happens. Somebody, you know, is uncomfortable with the, you know, sattvic practices, so they do something else than that. That's fine. But then when you try to make it that this is the method, this is, the, you know, for the modern age and all this kind of jazz, then it's useless. Because it doesn't. It works for them. But it doesn't work for anybody else. Does that make sense? So you take the essence, what's from there, and where are those points of taste, of rasa, within the devotional process? And then absorb yourself there. But understand it's due to a weakness that one has to take that, and by Krishna's grace, that surrender, then Krishna, the heart gets purified, and Krishna, by his mercy, then one will start to get, because one has to want that. But it's wanted in connection to Krishna. If you just want it to feel it yourself, then yes, you can do that. But the problem is it's so sad because we've been bound up in the material world since time immemorial because we think that, you know, if I only had support of my family or this or that, then I would be happy. But there's people with support of their family and it still doesn't go so well. You know what I'm saying? you know, it's, I guarantee you there was good family support in Camp 1 and Camp 2. No? Yes? No? We're not talking about the guys in Camp 3, because that's not good. You know, saying so. It's just these things are there, but they're in the original. You know, Krishna and Sudama. He's a Kshatriya. Sudama Vipra is a Brahmin, but they're best friends because they go together in the Gurukul. Their duties are different, but their appreciation of the Vedic, you know, experience is the same. And so they can sit and they can discuss, and then they're best of friends. You know, Gopu Kumar goes through all those experiences. So, read that. Really into poetry, read Chaitanya Charitamrita in Bengali. Now that's poetry. Simple, very nice, very sweet. Bhaktisiddhanta says what he Thakur said. People would learn Bengali just to be able to read Chaitanya Charitamrita in the original. It's just because the poetry is so amazing. Does that work or not so much? Or?
Yeah, it works.
Yeah. Because otherwise these others, you can try them, but the point is that people have been doing that since time immemorial. They've always been doing it. It's always been there.
One day
and another
we need to surrender to Krishna.
Yeah, one day and another we have to surrender. Yeah. Yes.
Talking about rasa, Prabhupada writes, I think, in NOD, refers to somewhere that a rasa can be exchanged only between man and a man, and, you know, or an animal and animal, and not between man and animal. I'm not sure what
it is. Between NOD. The species.
Yeah. So my question was, in today's world, we see, you know, so many people having puppies, cats, dogs. So I always wonder, what are they actually enjoying with them? I used to think that they are at least having some shanta rasa with them. So, when Prabhupada says that rasa is only between same species, how
because you only fully relate. So otherwise, there's some little basis of interaction. There's some dependency, but it's like, let's say if there's two puppies, they're having more relationship than you are with the puppies. You know what I'm saying? You're sitting there. One cat sitting up on the ledge over here, relaxed like they own the place, and the other cat sitting on that ledge over there like he owns the place. They're having rasa. They own the place. You know, you're the servant, so how much relationship are you going to have? You know what I'm saying? You pet the cat when you want. You don't pet the cat when you don't want. So it's some taste is there, but what we're talking about here, you know, is this aspect of ruksha. You know, it's very minimal. It's just like, let's say you're really, really hungry.
Is it at least at shanta level, shanta ras level, or not even that much? People who have pets, I'm just asking. Are they at least relating at that level, or is it...
Shanta means there's a full appreciation. So you appreciate that it howls, it slobbers, and it's got fleas, and there's hair all over the house. Right? You know what I'm saying? If puppies weren't cute, who'd take care of them? Right? Even their parents wouldn't take care. Okay. Where are you from originally?
I'm from Pune.
Pune, okay. And before that, the ancestral background?
Tamil Nadu.
Tamil Nadu, okay. Let us say you are super hungry. You haven't eaten all day. And I say, come, I'll feed you. You sit down, I put out the leaf plate, and I bring... You know, with a small spoon, some tweezers, I bring in one grain of rice, cooked, of course, an offer, and I put it on your plate. And you kind of look at that and go, anymore? No, that's it. Would you call that a meal? So then, when we're talking about rasa here, why are we trying to connect what the happiness they're getting with their puppies with that, what we're talking about here? Because they've already shown how it goes down, and it's just ruksha at best. You know, are their hairs standing on end and, you know, all these things about their puppy? No, it's nice. It's pleasant. You know, it's another living entity. It moves. Because it's about the living entity that they're attracted to, not the body. You know what I'm saying? Because they would like get them a doll of a dog. No, but they want a soul inside. Right?
About Maharaj, about that last question, you multiple times have mentioned that that which is not found in the Veda, that which ought to say that which cannot be described by the Purusha Sukta in the Vishwarup, it you cannot be Krishna conscious using that particular artifact, that particular vastu. So you cannot take full sannyas while engaging that in the Lord's service, and you have to, as you mentioned today, invent some kind of a purport in order to connect it somehow or the other to Krishna and then be Krishna conscious. And one other point always mentioned, multiple times I mentioned that the Vedic, whatever vastus are there in the Vedic, this thing, it is taking a thorn and removing the one thorn with it and then putting both of them.
Yeah, you're throwing both of them.
Yes. So with this, you know, Game of Thrones thing or something, other literature, whatever, they said, which thorn, how can you remove and they can detach from them, and then it doesn't cause more pain than what it was supposed to be, unknown, all of this.
Yeah, because you don't see, because it's there, it's very popular now, and then it goes away. So the Vedic concept is that learning all these human interactions and needs in context with the Lord, that's where you will engage yourself and progress. So the Vedic culture is how to take care of the material conditioning at the same time progress like that. So, you know, things like this, then the Vedic system, they have things like demigod worship and stuff like that. So it's preliminaries to bhakti, but it's only preliminaries because the activities are the same as you would do in bhakti. But it itself is not devotional service. So as long as it's very clear that all these things aren't necessarily devotional service, unless they can see the connection. There you go. The mosquitoes. Yes, yeah, just a matter of we do what the acharyas recommend. Like that. And if in an individual case, then you have to do like that, and then they get to it, they can move them through, but then you have to be monitoring it. But it's not a general practice. It's not a new technique or something like that. Because how many people have come from backgrounds where they do appreciate relationships and they still can't be Krishna conscious? You know, do come from a poetic, like you could go down to the university, to the lit, you know, the lit department. How many of those people are going to take up Krishna consciousness? You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing, is that what's going to work? Does that make sense? The conditioning, maybe they're going, that's what they're doing before, they're still doing it now and they appreciate, that's one thing. But at some point it'll have to go. Because at some point we have to give up the identification that this is me. I am a literature-based person. I appreciate good literature no matter where it's from. At some point we have to give it up, and that it's just what we appreciate in literature, that's Krishna. But we're not attributing it to Krishna, we're attributing it to the particular wordings and the arrangements and all those kind of things. You know, the, what do you call it? The literary, what are they called? Not technique. Sorry? Yes, embellishments, you know, the different techniques, the ornaments, like that. There's another technical word that they call it, that, you know, it's a particular, like a tool that you could use to put something together, to put the sentence together, put the paragraph together. You use these things that are, like that. So, but at some point you have to give up that identity that this is me. I'm just the servant of the servant. So at some point it has to go. So as long as using it, fine. As long as they understand that it, at some point it has to go. Not that, oh, this is great and it was great for me, now tell all my friends and get them all into it, and then we'll, you know, everybody will come to my house for a reading and poetry and that, and, you know, and then, you know, and then what happened to the kirtan? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
So, can we say that the rasa we experience entirely depends on that identity that we have?
Yes. Otherwise, how do you experience a rasa unless you have a position in it? So that's the difficulty. When you say people aren't experiencing rasa, what's their identity? Like you take, let's say you take somebody, contemporary person now. What's their relationship with their parents? Do they have friends? Do they have dependents? Junior to them? You know, you go, let's say you're in 12th grade. That means the guys above you are too big. They're gonna, you know, how you say, give you trouble if you go around them. And the guys below you, you're going to give trouble to. Like that. You only, everybody is only your age. You can't relate to anything outside that age. You know, and then you do a certain thing. You work with certain apps, so people who work in that area, you relate to them. And that's it. So what's your identity? You know what I'm saying? You're some, how you say, cyborg in some, you know, virtual world, and that's your identity. And then you play that game so that you can only relate to other people that have that kind of... Mm-hmm. So it's all based on identity. That's what relationship means, is... There's you, there's this the time, place, and circumstance. Right? So the time and place, those are governed by other things. But the circumstance, then it's your relationship with that circumstance that defines what can be done. So if you don't have a relationship, you don't have an identity. So that's the problem, is as we break down all the traditional identities, you know, in this modern pursuit of making everybody homogeneously equal, then the difficulty is no one has any identity. So unless someone says a buzzword, you have nothing to talk about. So then you have no relationships. You don't have anything. So there's nothing to build on. Is that something? So the whole idea is that that's all come about by this modern, the contemporary modern thinking. You know, the so-called the latest way of thinking. It's just making things much more and more impersonal, where no one even has proper identities. Because to have an identity, you have to base it on some, what they would consider some stereotypical platform. So everyone fits in a box, and I don't fit in the box. I'm different. I'm free. I'm this. I'm that. But you fit in the box that it's all about you. You know, it's called self-centered. It's also a box. But somehow my self-centered box is no box at all, and everybody else that they, you know, like that, you know, so I'm a husband, or I'm a wife, or I'm a member of this community, or I go to this club, and all that. These are all bogus. But only the box that I am the center of the universe, that's the only. And so then they can't function, they can't even deal with other people. They can't even deal with themselves, they don't know who they are. So you have to have identity. So therefore, no matter what it is, how good or bad it is, it's still, I'm the servant of the servant of the servant. So that's what Lord Chaitanya gave. So I don't identify by my lifestyle, I don't identify by my occupation, I just identify as the servant of the servant of the devotees. And so, as that gets stronger, then you see is that all the problems of identity and all that and relationships goes away. But the other one, you can only work with what you have by your karma. You can't change your karma, you know, by just whatever you want. You have to follow laws of nature. So even if you want to change it, you still have to follow what the Vedas say. So since you're going to work so hard anyway, why not do that connected to Krishna and get the eternal benefit? So just because you say, I'm different, I'm this and that, and I'm so fabulous, and I'm so great, and I feel so good. And then your friend goes, oh, okay, nice, what do you feel good about? Hey, don't ruin my day here, you know, don't, you know, I'm on a roll here, you know, where, a roll, okay, what are you rolling to? So in other words, they can't even have relationships with them. You can't even say anything. You try to, okay, well, great, where are you going? Where are you rolling off to? You know, pandas roll, they get some, what do you call it, bamboo shoots, and they eat those. So you're rolling, where are you going? You know, it's like... So that's the problem. It's false. It's not real identity. Even within false identities, it's not a solid identity. So that's why Varnashram is there. It gives you a solid identity within the temporary. But we're still not that. We're still the soul. Because the need for relationships, the need for interaction, that's coming from the soul. It's not coming from the conditioning. Conditioning is just what it's like the colors come from the sun, not from the stained glass. You know, so you see it that, but it's the sun that makes it work. Does that make sense? So the soul, it's natural, is going to have relationships. But the problem is it becomes so reduced. So the natural friendliness of the soul, that friendship out of the soul, when that natural friendship or compassion is applied to the Lord, that's called bhakti or prema. When it's applied to other living entities, then it's called friendship. Right? So that's in the spiritual world. It's either you have prema with the Lord in your particular rati, and you have friendship with the other living entities, depending upon their position. But when it comes into the material world, then, for the devotees, then they apply it as friendship with the devotees, compassion to the innocent, and, how you say?
Avoiding the envious.
Sorry?
Avoiding the envious?
Yeah, avoiding, or there's another word where it's just you're not, you don't take interest.
Ignoring.
Indifference. Like that. But yes, the same that. But it's the same thing. It just has three features. It's one thing. So there is only one thing. So it manifests in its natural form as prema for Krishna, friendship for the living entities in the material world, then it comes out in these three. But on the material platform, that's how the devotee uses it. On the material platform, then it becomes very restricted. So then one has that compassion starting with your identity of yourself, and then for the family, and then for the community, and then for... You know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions Varna, and then country, and then, or you get it for humankind, or like this. But it's still restrictive. The Vaishnava is all living entities. So they apply this principle to all living entities, not just humans. They have that kindness towards everyone. That's just, so it's Jiva Doya, not Nara Daya. Right? It's all living entities. Because then it's complete, because then they're all connected to the Lord. So that's the method. It's already there. So one has to appreciate that. You know, they could try reading Chaitanya Charitamrita, so many nice pastimes, the Bhagavatam, so many nice interactions. You know? Otherwise, I'm not sure how much it would inspire them reading King Lear. In the end, everybody's dead, so it's like this. Yeah? Yeah. We're good? No?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so.
It seems that like 30, 40 years ago, it was the devotees were more active in reading, in drama, in like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Nowadays it's little drier.
Yeah, a little dry. But that's the point, is they have so many things you do, you have all these different things. It's just everything's together. You identify as the devotees and you do everything like that. But, you know, we discuss community, but it's not based on community meaning there's a common value. Community means it's a group of people that do whatever they want. And then whenever they feel like it, then they might come together. So it's not actually a community. You know?
It's a better definition.
Yeah, I mean, so you hang out with the same. Birds of the feather will still hang around, but the same time as it's, what do they do? Because you know? There's nothing common. What, you know, it's like if I invite people over to eat, what will they eat? You know, if you have community, you know, you cook this, they'll like it. Nowadays, you don't know what anybody will like. What will set them off? You know. So it's like, how do you? You know. Yeah. But at least, if nothing else, you can come down to the Vedic hospitality. At least you can offer them some water, like that. So generally, everybody will accept that. So that's good. So.
One lady, she mentioned, I will drink anything but water.
Anything but water.
She said, I'll take anything but water.
So,
she's from UK, I don't know, but that's what she said.
Said anything but water. Water. Generally, because all the conspiracy theories about how they're going to do something freaky from water comes all out of England. They're all, somehow or the guys are always English. So. So she follows in the footsteps of W.C. Fields. He wouldn't drink water either.
Oh, maybe, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, spirit is still a little elaborate. What is the symptoms of real Krishna conscious community? Because nowadays it easily tends to be just the hang around the centerpiece of complaining.
Yeah, but it's around Krishna. The point is, Krishna is the center. So if at least they'll come for the feast, it's there. But then you also have the name, you have the form, qualities, pastimes, just the interaction between devotees, discussing experiences within Krishna consciousness. You know, then like Prabhu was saying, doing things connected to deity worship, doing dramas, doing some other kind of activities. You just have to find things that'll work. Like, yeah, before is that, means. Quite a ways back, I think late 60s, early 70s, then it was very common that they would do dramas at every Sunday program. And it was just something they just put together. They probably put it together in the morning. You know, okay, you'll be this, you'll be that. And yeah, okay, and then they go through it, and everybody liked it. So, yeah. It's just a matter of thinking of different ways to make it about Krishna. So,
we used to do drama on the street in Harlem.
Yeah, that was always a real fun.
And I'd stop and put a drama right there.
Yeah, yeah.
Just to invite people to listen to it.
Yeah, yeah.
That was before the internet.
Oh, okay, well, if you can get everyone there on the internet, then that's awesome, good. There's a good chance more people came from the drama, though. But if it works, then the point is whatever works. Okay, 15. Vyabhachari bhavas nourish the sty bhava and are temporary. We're good? Okay. The Vyabhachari bhavas are as follows. Self-disgust, nirveda, remorse, vishada, thinking oneself unqualified, dainyam or dinata, debility, weakness due to labor, glani or mlani, perspiration from dancing, etc., shrama, intoxication from drinking honey, mada, pride, garva, apprehension, shanka, sudden fear, trasha, confusion of the mind, avega, insanity, unmada, epilepsy, apasmriti, sickness such as fever, vyadi, loss of internal awareness, moha, death-like symptoms, mriti, sloth, alasyam, indecision, jaram, shame, vridha, concealment, avahita, remembrance, smriti, conjecture, vitarka, pondering what will happen, chinta, finding meaning through scriptural references, mati, steadiness, driti, joy, harsha, impatience or longing, outshukyam, ferocity, augriya, intolerance, amarsha, fault-finding, asuya, inability to remain steady, chapalya, sleep, nidra, dreaming, supti, and enlightenment, bodha. So the secondary rasas, then they're counted within these vyavichari bhavas. We have the five main rasas. So they're then what is the basis? So that'll be the sty in that. The secondary then are supportive of those because they'll temporarily come in and go. So they're also counted as vyavichari bhavas. So you see in the introduction to Bhagavatam, in the third verse, then Vyasadeva is making the point about what's rasa and things like that. And then Prabhupada in the purport talks about the primary and the secondary. He makes the point that in the material world, people basically only taste secondary. They don't really taste the primary. So we can see here so many things that would go along with the modern culture very well that are, you know, here. Self-disgust, remorse, thinking oneself unqualified, like that, or, you know, how you say, insanity, confusion of the mind, indecision,
pride,
how you say, ferocity, intolerance, fault-finding, inability to remain steady. Couch potato-ness, alasyam, here, like that. Sleep, nidra, dream, like that. So many of these little things have come up. So mostly people, when they're moving and thinking, it's all about this. It's not about the primary rasas. These are things that come up. When you have the primary, then they come through and add some flavor. But if you don't have the primary rasa, you only have these, then it doesn't give. That's why there's not so much. That's why you say it's ruksha, it's a little dry.
So in the material world, these are the primary rasas, or the conditions?
Yeah, these are the main things for them. Okay. 16. The bhavas appear according to the heart of the devotee. In the heart, deep like the ocean, they do not manifest or manifest slightly. Okay, here's what we were talking about before. In the heart, shallow like a pond, they manifest intensely. There's no hard and fast rule, however, and therefore this is not discussed in detail. Right, because it's there, but there's no detail given on it, because it's just according to the individual. Right, so there's not a regular science of it, so it's not discussed. It's just some are like that, some are like the other. 17. The sty bhavas has five forms. Shudharati has three types: samanya, kvacha, and shanta. The sty bhava arising from samanya rati by maturity of general worship of ordinary persons lacking association with devotees situated in particular rasa is called samanya rupa. So just that general thing they don't really have very sound. They become fixed in this like that, like you see much of the time many Hindus are just ordinary kind of thing, very nicely fixed in whatever they're doing, but it's not really going anywhere, it doesn't have any really depth to it.
Yes.
Like that. So that. Five types of rati develop through maturity of worship by indiscriminate associated with devotees of all five ratis. Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, Madhurya. Sometimes Shantarati, sometimes Dasyam, sometimes Sakyam, sometimes Vatsalya, and sometimes Kantabhava will arise at different times according to the association with these different types of devotees. The person is not fixed in one bhava. This is called Kvacharati. Right? Samanya is just, you know, some, I say, just, you've done something, you're regularly doing it and all that, then it has a particular flavor. Mm-hmm. But it's general, because it doesn't have any, it's not from any particular association. Mm-hmm. Then you have one where, depending upon the association they're in, they take on that flavor. Mm-hmm. Like that. So that's called kvacha. Among those fixed in a single rasa, there are five types of rati. The shanta devotees have shanta rati. Right, so then that means that's the position there.
Just going to kvacha, is that a fixed position? Like
no, the person is not fixed in one bhava. It just keeps moving around. you know, until at some point it does get fixed.
So it can be sthayi, like every a bit of everything.
No, because what would that be?
Yeah, that's the question.
It's not that means where would they fit in? You know what I'm saying? Do the cowherd boys want to get too close with somebody and get in there and yelling and screaming with somebody that hangs out with Mother Yashoda all day? No, because then they'll talk about that. They'll get in trouble. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's just, all it means is these are below bhava. They're below. So they'll have these things. It's ordinary or it's kind of mixed here and there. It's not specific. Then it comes to the point where it's proper. Right? So then you'll have, then it'll start with Shanta. Mm-hmm. Among those in a single rasa, there are five types of rati. The Shanta devotees have Shantarati. The devotees with Dasya Bhava are Dasyarati. Those with Shakya Bhava have Shakyarati. Those with Vatsalya Bhava have Vatsalyarati. Devotees with Ujjvala Bhava have Priyatarati. Right? So the Rati means the kind of attraction. The Bhava means the experience. Right? Does that make sense? It's a particular kind of attraction. So they have a specific one. So that can go deep. The one where it's just whoever you're with that happens to be what happens, then, you know, nice, but it's not fixed. And then the one is that just they do the general worship like that, but without any real association. So, you know, they do nice, you see. You sometimes meet these individuals who you know, are very mature in their practices, but they don't have any real specific association, but they're really good at what they do. You know, very fixed in it, and they always do everything very stable, like that. But it's samanya, it's just ordinary. Because it's not in a specific, towards a specific direction or anything. You know, one, it has no specific direction, but it's steady. The other one, it's whatever's going on, that's what they get involved in. And the third one, there's actually a specific position. So, yeah. The five chief rasas that manifest from these ratis are successively superior, right? Because they include the last one. Shanta rasa, Dasya, Sakya rasa, Vatsalya rasa, and Ujjvala rasa. Those in Shanta have their intelligence fixed in Krishna. Those in Dasya are fixed in service, because the one is the intelligence. That's how they're worshipping Krishna. They're always meditating and seeing the philosophical aspects always in connection with the Lord. Right? Dasya means they're fixed in service. Those in Shakya have lack of reverence. Right? They're rendering service, but there's no reverence in the worship. While in Dasya, they have service that has some reverence.
That's Rasa. Dasya,
huh? Yes. Those in Vatsalya have affection. Those in Ujjvala Rasa experience happiness by offering themselves intimately to the Lord. Those in the higher Rasas have superior qualities to those in the lower Rasas. Just there's more qualities involved, more variety that's there, more intensity. So that's why they say they're superior. But you see, socially, then they function with wherever position they are. Does that make sense? So that's the point, is that the ability to, whatever's your particular taste, you still, it doesn't change what your particular duties are and how you relate with everybody else in connection with that. Does that make sense? So that's an important aspect, because in Braj, they act in their ways. When they come to Nanda Bhavan, the gopis ask Mother Yashoda what to do. Right? Though, technically, they're the higher rasa. Does that make sense? So that we see on the material platform, the idea is if I'm the highest in anything, I'm the highest in everything. like that. So they can't just use their position for that aspect, and for other things then they just fit in socially where it goes. They try to put themselves on the top and everything. So you can't really appreciate rasa that way. That's why the humble position, then you don't have that a material position, then you can work with what's there. So yeah. In Shantarasa, Krishna with qualities of Paramatma or four-armed Narayana, Parabrahman in human form, is the Vishaya. Right? So in other words, the directive is where the attention is focused for Shantarasa is Krishna with the qualities of Paramatma or four-armed Narayana. Parabrahman in human form is the Vishaya. Does that make sense? So Krishna, but it's about the qualities he has of Narayan, his greatness, how he does all these things, how he's in control of everything. Mm-hmm. Like that.
Vishaya means object?
If you're looking at it where your rati is directed, yes. That's the Vishaya. Yes. Because this term, we'll see it go back and forth. Mm-hmm. Object, if we're just using it, that object from the aspect of where something is directed. Like the object of your gaze means where you're looking at. So it'll be used in that way, meaning that the relationship or the particular attraction the devotee has and that service they render to express that's directed at Krishna. Right? So he's the object. But if you're using the term subject and object, then it reverses. Then Krishna is the subject because he's what it's about. The object is then Krishna's attention goes towards. Right? So Krishna is the supreme subject, because it's always about him, but Radharani is the supreme object. Right? So you'll see it gets used, object gets used in both positions. Okay. Practitioners of austerities, like the Kumaras, are the Ashrayas. Right, so this, like the position, like of Jnana Yoga, that's the natural position that they are in. Jnanis also become the Ashraya in Shantarasa if they give up the desire for liberation and become endowed with desires for bhakti by the mercy of Krishna's devotees. Right, so that same position of just it's about Krishna. It's the intellect is focused on Krishna. The Udipans for Shantarasa are places where there are persons who live in forests or mountains, because then you get inspired, right? Udipans are what inspire you in that rasa. The Anubhavas are staring at the tip of the nose, activities of the Avadhuta, giving up all possessions, not hating persons who hate the Lord, not being too attracted to the devotees, silence and absorption in Jnana scriptures. Right? So these are the Anubhavas. When they get inspired, then they do these activities. That's how you see it manifest their particular attraction to the Lord. The Sattvika Bhavas are tears, hair standing on end, perspiration, being stunned, trembling, change of complexion, breaking of the voice, but not fainting, right? Because it's intellectually based. If you faint, then you're not in contact through the medium that you're using. The Vyavicharis are self-disgust, determination and considering scriptures, mati. The Stai Bhava is Shantarati. Right? So that will be the sphere in which it functions. Right? So now the Acharya is going through and explaining each one of them what they have. In Dasya Ras, Krishna is the Vishaya, as the Lord and Master, omniscient and affectionate to the devotees. The Ashrayas are four. Adi Krita Bhaktas, holding posts like Brahma, Shiva. Ashritas, those who take shelter. Parashadas, retinue, and Anugas, servants. The Ashritas, those who take shelter, are of three types. Sharanyas, like the kings imprisoned by Jarasandha, right, who took shelter. Jnanacharas and Sevanishtas, examples of Jnanacharas are the Kumaras who gave it the desire for liberation and became fixed in Dasya. Examples of Sevanishtas are Bahulastra, Chandradvaja, and Harihaya. I think Bahulaswa, wasn't he the one? He was the king?
Yeah, he was the king.
Yeah. Who are engaged in worship from the beginning of their practice. Okay. Examples of Parshuras are Uddhava, Daruka, and Shutadev. Anugas, servants in Dwarka are Shuchanda and Mandava. Anugas in Vraja are Raktaka, Patraka, and Marukanta. So you don't hear about them so much because they're just there serving and doing all that. You'll hear most about the Parshuras. Right? And then when we hear the stories of those who surrendered, then we're getting inspiration how we can surrender and things work out nicely. Right? That's Bhaktivinoda Thakura mentions, if we're not inspired, then read the stories about those devotees who perfected their lives through devotional service. Then we get inspired. Among the Anugas and Parshadas, some are Durya devotees, filled with bhakti to Krishna and his followers. Some are Dira devotees, having great respect for Krishna's consorts. Some are Vira devotees, who, having received the Lord's mercy, serve him out of pride. Right? So it's just, they have that, but it's all connected to the Lord. Yeah. There are Palyas, Krishna's sons like Prajumna and Samba, filled with affection and respect for Krishna as father, Gaurava Priti. Some of the Dasis are Nitya Siddhas, some are Sadhana Siddhas, and some are Sadhakas, Bhava. Right, because that means the others have already come to the platform, but the others are still practicing. Right? The Udipans are mercy of Krishna, his the dust from his lotus feet, Mahaprasada, and other items. The Anubhavas are actions like carrying out the order of Krishna. Right, they get inspired, they want to do some service. Footnote 6, 24 of the Vyavichari Bhavas and all Satvika Bhavas manifest in Dasya Ras. So 24 of the 30. You saw very few were of the Avicharis, only three, you know, in the Shanta. But in here, then we see 24 and all the Satvika Bhavas. Because then the fainting is also there. Because the other ones wouldn't faint because of the intellectual medium, right? In Dasyaras, there is Prema, Sneha, and Raga. So that's what it'll go up to. The stai in the Adikrita devotees, the Ashrita devotees. So Adikrita was the holding post, like Brahman Shiva. Ashrita is those who take shelter. Is up to prema. In the Parshads, it is up to sneha. In Parikrit, Daruka and Uddhava, rag manifests. In Raktak and all Vraja. And maybe those in Vraja, I'm not sure. Like that. All these stages manifest. In Prajumna and other sons of Krishna, all the stages manifest. That means all those three. So Prema, Sneha, and Raga. Right? Separation until seeing Krishna for the first time is called Ayoga. Separation after first seeing him is called Viyoga. 10 conditions manifest in separation. Heat, thinness, insomnia, unstable mind, lack of attraction for anything, being stunned, sickness, insanity, fainting, and death-like symptoms. So that's all the dasya. Right? 20. Krishna as the Vishaya of Shakyarasa is skillful in the arts and clever. Right? Because that's the whole point amongst the friends. That cleverness, at being skillful, that's what's always appreciated. Right? He dresses nicely and loves to enjoy. The Ashrayas are of four types. Surits, Sakas, Priya Shakas, and Priya Narma Shakas. The Surits are older than Krishna and have a little Vatsalya affection as well. Because they're older, so they try to take care. So there's that touch of like the parental. Examples are Subhadra, Mandali Bhadra, and Balaram. The Shakas are slightly less in age and have a mixture of Dasya. Examples are Vishala, Vrishabha, and Devaprastha. So that was the, what did you say? Surits Shakas. Okay, then. Those who are equal in age to Krishna are Priya Shakas, like Sridhama, Sudhama, and Vasudhama. Those touched with Sringara Rasa, who assist Krishna in pastimes with the gopis, are Priya Narma Shakas, like Subal, Maru Mangal, and Arjuna. Means the cowherd boy, not on the chariot. Does that make sense? So Prabhupada says, you know, so they have that little bit of their senior to Krishna, that touch, their junior to Krishna, their equal of Krishna, and they share in Krishna's intimate pastimes. The Udipans are his Kumara, Pauganda, and Kaishora ages. Right? So at all three ages these were. His horn, flute, and musical instruments. So these all inspire them. Because right? They also, you hear the cowherd boys, they get out their buffalo horns, they also play, they sing, they dance, and all. Childhood, Kumara ends with the fifth year. Boyhood, Pauganda ends with the tenth year. Youth, Kaishora ends with the 16th. After that is manhood, Yovana. There's a footnote. Seven. Bhakti Rasamrita Sunda 21209 has a show dot chat up to 16. Yeah, but it ends with 16 means can be up to 16. When the 16 starts, that's the end. Oh, I haven't seen that one for a while. Kind of like everybody's back. They had a caller. Oh, okay. Hopefully a flea caller. No.
It doesn't work here.
Yeah, probably in the morning, things on the floor, there's this dust, and what's that? What's eating it? And you look, and it's fleas. Right? They ate the flea collar. Okay. Krishna performs his pastimes in Vraja until his 10th year, 8th month. Krishna ages quicker than normal, right? So in other words, as a Mahapurush, you know, great soul, they age at 1.5 times the speed. So if you take 10 years, 8 months, right? Half of 10 is 5, right? So that makes 15. Half of 8 is 4 months. So 8 months and 4 months means 12 months. So that's 1 year plus 15 is 16. So when he is 10 years, 8 months, he's the equivalent of being 16. That's why that's when he leaves Vrindavan. Mm-hmm. Right? Because it's Kishore pastimes from Vrindavan, but from Yovana, that's in Dwarka. Thus, his Kumar period lasts until the 3rd year and 4 months. After that, Pauganda age lasts till 6 years and 8 months. His Kishore period lasts until, so that's 6 years and 8 months. And so then after that, then we see that then the Rasa dance, because it's after that, so he's already in the Kishore period. So he's only 7 years old when the Rasa dance, so that's why he probably points out no one can complain. He's the 7-year-old kid. Where's the lust? But at the same time, as he matures faster, therefore he's in the Kishore age. After that, for all time, he remained in Kishore age. Right? The last portion of Kishore starts in his 10th year. He remains in that state at all times after. Kishore began in his 7th year, during Vaishak month, 6 years and 8 months. Though it appears that the gopis performed pastimes when Krishna was in Pauganda period, it was not so, since Krishna entered Kishore period only, early. For this reason, the above has been written, just so that you understand, you know, how it's going. Because otherwise, the years aren't so important. It's just the moods that are there when he performs the pastime. But just in case somebody has to ask, I say, one of those kind of questions, and here's the answer. The Anubhavas for Sakya Rasa are wrestling and playing, sleeping on the same bed, etc. All the Sattvika Bhavas manifest. The Vyavachari Bhavas are joke and pride, etc. Footnote 8. 30 Vyavachari Bhavas manifest in Sakya, so 30 out of 33. Sakya Rati, with special intimacy filled with lack of respect, viewing Krishna as an equal, is the Stai Bhava. With Sakya Rati, Pranaya, footnote 9, Pranaya appears after the Stai Bhava of Sakya Rati, since intimacy is an equal as an equal, is a constituent of this rati, appears after sneha in madhura rati. Pranaya does not appear in dasya or vatsalya. So, where were we? Yeah, so it's intimacy. Prema, sneha, and raga manifest in sakya rasa. Friends outside of Vraja are Arjuna, Bhim Sen, and Sridham Vipra. In Vyoga, separation, the 10 previously mentioned conditions manifest. Mm-hmm. Right? Because it mentioned the manifestation in when there isn't yoga. Mm-hmm.
Arjuna, it is Arjuna.
Yes, so he says outside Vraja, Arjuna, Bhim Sen, that's Arjuna the Pandavas. Mm-hmm. But the previous one is Arjuna the cowherd boy. Yes.
But both of them are friends.
Yes. But here he's the Priya Narmashaki, Shaka, and the other, I think he's an equal. Because they're the same age. Like Yudhishthir and Bhima, then Krishna offers their respects to them. Yes. And Nakula and Sahadev, they offer their respects to Krishna. But Krishna and Arjuna, they just embrace. Yeah. In Vatsalya Rasa, the Vishaya is Krishna, endowed with tender limbs, mild nature, and all good qualities. The Ashrayas are elders, such as parents, endowed with a bhava, caring for Krishna. In Vraja, the Ashrayas are Jashoda, Nanda, Rohini, Upananda, and his wife. Elsewhere, Devaki, Kunti, and Vasudeva are the Ashrayas. The Udipanas are Krishna's smile, his talking, and infant activities. The Anubhavas are smelling his head, giving him blessings, and caring for him with affection. The Sattvika Bhavas are the eight, and in addition, milk flowing from the breast. The Vyavichari Bhavas are joy, worry, etc. Footnote 10. 25 Vyavichari Bhavas manifest in Vatsalya. The Stai Bhava is Vatsalya Rati. This proceeds to Prema, Sneha, and Raga. In Vyoga, the 10 conditions manifest. Because right, we see is with the Shanta, only 9 manifest, not 10. Right? In Madhura Rasa, Krishna, an ocean of sweetness in form, pastimes, and prema, is the Vishaya. The Ashrayas are his beloved consorts. The Udipanas are the sound of the flute, spring season, the call of the cuckoo, seeing fresh clouds and seeing the throat of the peacock. The Anubhavas are side glances and laughter, etc. All the Sattvika Bhavas manifest to the Sudipta stage. Mm-hmm. Right? So before Sudipta was the highest level of manifestation. Mm-hmm. Right? Because we had before was the smoking, then you had the flame, then you had the light, then you had the brightness, then you had the brilliance. Mm-hmm. So here it's always manifest at the Sudipta, at the point of brilliance. Mm-hmm. All the Vyavichari Bhavas except laziness and ferocity manifest. Mm-hmm. 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 Yes. The Stai Bhava is Priyata Rati. This proceeds to Prema, Sneha, Pranaya, Raga, Anuraga, and Mahabhava as described in Ujjvala Nilamana. So this goes all the way through. So we see is that the others don't go up to this level. They only get up as far as Rag. But Anuraga and Mahabhava is only in the conjugal. Right? But that's only in Braj. In Dwarka, it only gets up to Anuraga. Okay. Some ratis are friendly or inimical to others. That we discussed before. It's just a matter of where it can manifest, so that's why it's called inimical or not. Otherwise, everybody deals nicely. Shanta and Dasya are mutual friends, right? Because it's all, it has that appreciation. Shaka and Vatsalya are neutral. Because, you know, they do good and all that, but at the same time, you can't be too playful, because it says wrestling and all, so you can't start wrestling in Nanda Bhavan. Yes. Right? You can't fight over the food and throw it at each other, and you know, you can't do that kind of stuff. Vatsalya has no friends among the primary rasas, right? Because they're on their own, because they just, everything's about their child Krishna. Yes. And so they see everyone in relationship to that. So they don't really have any friends, just amongst themselves. Ujjvala and Dasya are mutual enemies. right? Because then the dasya, that formality, then you can't manifest. When it's so formal, you can't manifest like that.
Huh? Yes. Vatsalya and Madhurya, wouldn't they be enemies too?
It doesn't get into... So it's just bringing out the main points here. That we'll see in Nectar Devotion. I'll get much more who exactly with what. But here it says they're mutual enemies. Well, like for the Vatsalya and the conjugal, it's not parental rasa don't see Krishna's lovers as enemies. They just see them as assistants to what they're doing. But so it's a one-sided thing with it, because you can't manifest. So that's why I only mentioned here are mutual enemies. Right? Here's mutual friends. They're mutually neutral. Vatsalya has no friends. And Ujjvala Dasya and Dasya are mutual enemies. So he just gave the essential points. Like that. After that, it gets more. Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jaya Nitai Gaura Premanandini.